What's that?
That's the sound of floating goodness.
Floating goodness, otherwise known as...
That's the sound of a bus going
by. Oh, your bus, yes.
But what we're in right now, the floating goodness we're in, is the Havel H6, Greg.
It's quite the beast, isn't it?
It's got a sound system.
Whoa. Quick, we might have to license that.
True that. It's got automatic windows. It's even got a lighter thing that no one uses anymore because smoking's bad.
But it powers your cell phone.
There you go. Havel powers us.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Is this an advert? Kind of. If you're interested in cool cars that don't break the bank, go on Havel.co.nz, is it?
Havel.co.nz. Find out your nearest dealer.
This is one of the slickest adverts ever.
Wow.
That's the horn. Enjoy the podcast.
Is it on? I think it's on. Get Ron. Hello?
So, test. Test. Yeah, I think that's like it there.
Right, yeah.
No, it's still going.
Here we go. Innovation at its finest.
How do we show people a picture of this? Sitting in a car. Paint the picture, Greg. Sitting in a car. The thing you use to block the sun from your eyes.
The sun visor. The sun visor is up, charging my phone off my computer. My laptop is on my lap. We are precariously parked up in a place of historical significance with lots of old people drinking coffee nearby.
Perfect.
If this
for
didn't
a
look
Dad's
like.
Podcast.
Yeah. Looks like a Rad Dad's podcast or a drug deal about to happen. Either or.
Which is welcome to my world. When you look and you're the size of me and you take the kids to the park, you're either there because you're a good dad or you're some creep with the backwards hat.
You're like, hold on a minute. Wait a minute. Well, what? Well, because I struggle to count. What episode number are we?
I'm just going to have a look in my podcast app because I've subscribed to us.
14?
I hope you've subscribed to us too.
14, is that right?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh.
All.
Oh, no internet connection. Yeah, let's just go with it. Episode 14.
We'll call it 14.
What's 14 in Māori?
Tekoma
Whetu.
Tekoma Whetu.
Is it?
Tahirua
Toru Wha.
Tekoma Wha.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I just took a punt.
Again, apologies if we have offended anyone, but I'm pretty sure it is Tekoma Wha.
That's actually probably a good place to start. There's a world now where we live in where you can say anything and someone will take offence.
Mm. Not in a Billy T kind of way. That was...
Yeah.
Do you remember that joke?
What?
Is it a Te Ao Muru Kaukuki was arrested today for not reporting the theft of his neighbour's gate. And he said, oh, I didn't want to say anything just in case they took offence.
There'll be someone out there who would actually take offence at that. And my question is, what do we do about that? Do you just carry on, or do you say to yourself, okay, so we had a perfect example of it this morning. This morning we visited the breakfast show,
mm-hmm.
and we were talking about things dads should do to raise good daughters, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately the red flag goes up for me, because as soon as you separate boys and girls,
mm-hmm.
you already can't win. For example, there's a narrative in this world which there is no differences between boys and girls. There's another narrative which, of course, there is, genetically,
mm-hmm.
right? But there's two versions of how people see the world. Maybe there always has been, but it feels like in this world, it's like a game. You can pick the specific characters you want,
mm.
and then you live inside that bubble.
Mm.
And so good intentions and context, I don't know if they play as important part, because if your bubble happens to cross over another bubble,
mm.
How could you not expect someone within that bubble to take offence? And what are we to do about it?
I think we spoke about this earlier in the week, but I think part of the problem, part of the heart of the matter is, I want to pose the question that have we lost are we losing the art of disagreeing with each other? In that, I guess those differences of opinion, I think possibly may have always existed in one shape or another. The fact that we don't think homogeneously. We see the world through very different eyes, and the diversity idea has been in play for a really long time, and that's ultimately what's caused people to butt heads and disagree and wrestle through, and then sometimes agree and come out on the same page, and other times be prepared to kind of disagree and walk away, but walk away that much more informed of being able to understand how that other person might think. But I think what's possibly happened is that as humans, we operate in packs. We're animals that have a tendency to want people to think and kind of see things the way that we do. And we're living in an age where there is unprecedented amounts of power that we hold to be able to influence and to mold and shape the opinions of others. And I guess when that overtakes, or that desire to kind of build our own empire of influence, and our own empires of wanting people to agree with us, because there's an endorphin hit that comes with that, and sometimes that is the right thing to do, is to stand up for a cause and to fight for it. But equally, I think the water's muddy very quickly. And I think I guess I'm more of the mindset that if you make a good enough point, I will come round to your way of thinking. You don't need to bully me into thinking that way. Because I'd like to think of myself as a reasonably articulate, intelligent individual. And if you can present a case that makes your point known, and it's not a case that's attached to your agenda that somehow is you personally, or in so far away from the actual point itself, that's cool. I'll come on board, and I'll change my thinking. I've changed my position on a number of things in my life. But I just think with that, we've possibly lost the art of disagreeing. We jump as soon as someone disagrees with me. I think we live in a world where that becomes inherently personal. And I'm a terrible person because this person doesn't agree with me, and so therefore my opinion is not valid, or my place in this world is not valid, or anything like that. And I just think, man, like we've got to stop letting other people shape the way we see ourselves. Our sense of identity is not predicated on the number of people that agree and think the same way as I do.
It's probably something like we talk about there's two sides of social media. There's the kind of positive side, which allows us to connect. But then, there's probably a vast bag full of negative sides and positive sides. But one of those negatives may be something like, it's a place to output, right? But the problem with just outputting and not inputting is when a disagreement does come up, you don't know how to take that, because you're only used to outputting. Yeah. It's like your car. You just drive, and eventually it stops. And you're like, why? I thought I could just drive.
And it's really funny because I was just thinking about it just now, and it's going, don't we have the best example of why this kind of stuff doesn't work in parenting? The amount of studies that have been done in and around what happens when you just give your kid absolutely everything that they want. And how well that kind of shapes up for you when you've only ever agreed with your kid and given your kid absolutely everything that they want and need, sorry, everything that they want and desire. I don't think that ever works out well. Shucks, if feel free to email, pipe up on the Facebook page, drop a comment in the podcast. But I don't think there's ever been a place in history where that has actually played out as a positive thing.
No.
And yet, we can do it as parents, where we can help our kids understand the world through a lens of, actually, no, that's not going to happen, or I'm going to disagree with you on that, despite the fact that from the perspective of your kid, that is the right thing to do in this world. But conversely, you stick to your guns, and that disagreement doesn't signal the breakdown of your relationship that you have with your kid. So why is it that when we step outside the parenting realm and we try and have interactions with other adult human beings, all of a sudden, if we end up in that disagreement, we act like children?
Or maybe we don't act like children, and that's the problem, you know? A child does see life a little bit simple, you know, and they do play upon instinct. Mm. So if they want, they tell you. I feel like maybe some of the price we pay of being adults who try and fit a world inside 12 hours is losing some of these intricacies of, you know, dealing with the balance of everything. Mm. You know, I certainly know there's a place where people say, don't let any negativity into your life.
Mm.
But unfortunately for me, that's a spoiled child.
Yeah.
You have to let some of it in, and you have to know what to do with it. And the most important thing is, it can't wipe your day out.
No.
But that's what's happening, right? Mm. Falau's thing comes out. It wipes people's week out.
Mm.
They've lost productivity time because they've never met each other. They've just decided they can't agree, and it's all over, and we just need to halt everything and shut that man up. You know what I mean? It's like, that's 1 minute of your day, and you've still got how many people's days were bummed out. Okay, regardless of what your thoughts are, the point being is it dominated media.
Mm.
It dominated kind of coffee room conversation.
Mm.
And, I mean, we could have been doing way more productive things.
Mm.
Like, raising our kids, or thinking about it more deeply, and instead of saying something, just think about it.
Mm.
What's being said? What's happening? What's my position on it? Why do I have that position? Do I disagree, or am I offended? If so, what should I do about that?
Mm.
You know, because there's so many multiple choice questions here.
Yeah,
you don't just have to say, nah, it's all about shutting up. It can be, this is the position I have on it. Well, I'm going to make sure in my life that when I publish, I know that others will see what I'm saying.
Mm.
And if my star brightens, that will never change.
Mm.
So make sure you've thought about, it's not just an outlet.
Mm.
I'm putting a bit of inlet in as well.
Yeah, and I think it ties into the three things we constantly talk about is listen first. Listen at all costs first and foremost. Act second.
Mm.
And then, and only then, once you've been through those two kind of... It's getting a bit hot in the studio.
the Havel H6.
Once you've been through those, those two mediums, only then do you kind of earn the right to speak. Because, again, we have these platforms in our lives that can, as we discovered, magnify our words so quickly and so often beyond any of our expectations that the need, the absolute necessity and need to be able to listen first, act second, and then, and only then speak third, is now more than ever... not even optional. It's a necessity, because I think, if we want to be able to try and steady the ship that we're in the midst of all this chaos, if we want to try and steady the ship, that's the only way that we're going to be able to do it. That's the only way, despite our vast, broad range of opinions and views on life, unless we can get to that universal truth of those three things, which I ardently believe that regardless of your standpoint or your view on anything, if you can adhere to those three elements, you can go about processing and unpacking the big issues of life in a way that's really productive.
Mm.
Because as soon as those three things get out of whack, dealing with that differing opinion and those differing views becomes inherently more difficult.
Yeah. Just getting through the next 12 hours and being the best version of you is a way to save this world.
Mm.
Hey, it's not about the big puffing of a chest and telling hundreds of thousands your thought.
Mm.
Like, no, that's not the right way to do it. Because, one, we're all not that important. You know, there's a select few who really sacrifice to make change.
Mm.
Right? And then that's the thing we don't talk about when we talk about leaders of countries. It's like the amount... Let's just categorize Trump in a different area. He's just something of an imagination, figment of imagination. But he's probably not. But anyway, let's worry about that later. There's multiple things here. But the idea that we think what we're going to say is going to make everything better.
Mm.
What, did we start history yesterday? You know? No. Yeah. It's part of this revolving cycle of every day is the best and worst ever.
Yeah.
And we sit somewhere in it.
Yeah.
And we have to sit firmly in it. And, you know, I can't get over that everyone thinks now it's all about, and maybe everyone always did, we've got to change something. We've got to do, you know, punch a Nazi.
Yeah.
You know, that went around. It's like, well, you don't know anything, and I don't know anything. So what do we know is the question.
Mm.
And I know that I know how I'm feeling.
Mm.
I know if I wake up in the morning feeling guilty about how I probably went over the top with my kids and telling them how to run their lives.
Yeah.
I know that if I'm not sleeping the entire night because I've got a newborn, that it's going to affect me in other ways.
Mm.
I know all of those things, and any of those things, and all of them are so complicated that there's no room actually for me to go fix the world. If I want to fix the world, be the best version of me I can be, try and offer the most value to others that I can, and like, you'll fix the world, you know, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, and again, I think it comes back to the fact that when you have to act first rather than second, it's a really easy thing to filter out, because you've actually got to be prepared. Oh, the studio's got a bit noisy now.
That's right.
We'll roll with it. You've actually got to be prepared to get outside yourself and genuinely live outside yourself so that you can translate your outrage or your frustration or whatever the feeling might be into a tangible output other than just your words. I mean, it's a little bit like, you know, the whole keyboard warrior thing, but... And I think that as a filter, because there are going to be people out there that will be sufficiently moved by a cause that they will go out.
Sorry, bro.
Try again.
Minor technical difficulties.
We're back online.
A phone just... Here's a tip. When recording...
podcast
on an iPhone, put the flight mode on.
Yeah.
Or wives will call, which is totally cool.
Yeah.
Working. Actually, don't put flight mode on. Here's a tip. If your recording gets interrupted by your wife, it's all good.
Embrace it. Be okay with it. Happy days.
What were we saying?
I was just talking about there will be people that will be moved to act. And what have you, and to actually genuinely go out and try and assert themselves on the world to be able to make a change. But I think when that is done by genuine, meaningful actions that actually looks to hear both sides of a coin, hear people out, make articulate, well-reasoned arguments, and then back it up with a world that, or actions that are outside themselves and not self-serving, that's when change happens. And I think, again, that's that idea that just realize and resist the temptation that words are hollow without actions.
Mm.
And in a world where words are so easily offered to a cause, just check yourself and are you in it for the endorphins of someone saying I agree, yes, yeah, me too, yeah, are you in it for you or are you in it for the cause?
Because
if you're in it for the cause and you're willing to back it up with action, come disagree with me, please come disagree with me on my view of the world and help me understand yours, because if we can have that conversation, now both of our lives are going to be better. But if you're going to disagree with me simply because you want to have that endorphin buzz of someone being able to say, yeah, go get him, that's where we're going to have a problem.
Exactly. You know, something that maybe we can finish up on is like, there's a lot of complicated things we're talking about.
Mm.
There's a lot of autopilot things happening here. And normally, autopilot is a good thing, you know, it gets you home from work and you forget how you got there because you're thinking while you're driving. It kicks in to allow you to respond to someone sad and, you know, it changes the chemicals automatically. But sometimes I think in today's very complicated, technologically driven world, our autopilot can be hacked and we can be doing things not realizing why. And actually, I think part of the solution is to really analyze why is it that I'm feeling this way and what's the chain of events that's taken place, you know? It might be something so simple like up until 2 years ago, I wasn't waking up and the first thing I wasn't doing was checking my phone to find a little red number next to Facebook, you know? And what complications does that put into my day when the endorphin comes from something else than what it's supposed to be? I don't know. I can't just sit here and say get up and go for a run because I don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that would make you happier if that's the output you're looking for, but maybe it's something like, let's just be okay with not knowing the answer yet, but knowing there's very complicated stuff happening and we're not always aware what is happening, you know,
and
it's deeper than we think.
Yeah, and resist the temptation to allow things like social media and other things. Again, I'm vehemently against the demonization of technology, but don't let social media reinforce this narrative that you are the center of your own universe, because the world's a big place with a lot of really cool and really interesting people with diverse views of the world. Let social media, amongst other things, let your interactions that you have with other people reinforce that. Embrace the mystery that it is that we are also similar yet somehow also different, and really let that settle and sit with you in the way that you challenge yourself, the way that you challenge your kids, the way that you take on, I guess, life head on, knowing that you have a little U-shaped hole in the world that you get to fill, and that's awesome, but also the world's an incredibly big place, and actually it's okay to be humbled by that. It's okay to be humbled and overawed by its magnificence and its mystery, and actually, you know what, that's one of the most intelligent and informed places and positions you can take. So enough with the preaching, as it were.
It's preaching and dadding. Deaching,
yes, possibly. Go deach.
You just got deached.
Not the rapper though.
I'm gonna deach you.
Gonna deach you a lizard. With that, as per usual, if you've got anything to say, if you wanna challenge us, disagree with us, agree with us, any and all feedback will be greatly received. Raddads New Zealand, as in NEWZEALND, at gmail.com, facebook.com/ Raddads NZ. Subscribe to the podcast, just drop by and say hi. Again, we say it so often, but just a couple of dads trying to figure out this crazy thing called life. Crazy thing called parenting, and I'm just so stoked that we can do it as Will says, in real time with you guys. So till episode 15, that sounds like such a momentous achievement. Until 15 rolls around, stay cool, and we'll talk to you guys soon.